It's very difficult to kind of concentrate 200 pages of details, complicated stuff, and procedures into 3 hours. I've actually discovered that we have 3 hours and a half. So I just wanted to hear a little bit from you about what you would like to learn now. Like, would you like to learn, like, how to actually apply, you say? Like, are you thinking of doing it yourself, or at least doing it most of it yourself, and then maybe hire someone else to help you, but like be very knowledgeable about all the steps and all the how it's actually done? Or would you like to sort of gain a more informed view of the kind of findings that it allows, the kind of questions that it can answer? It's a bit, because I'm a bit sort of confused, because you are commissioners. I mean, I think most of you are commissioners. So I'm just wondering, do you want to learn how to do it yourself or not? Yeah, so that's just a question that I have. No, I mean, I'm just wondering, yeah, I'm just wondering, like, the level of detail that you want to get into. And also, like, I don't know how many of you have read the report or have read a little bit about QCA, or if it's kind of completely new. So how many of you have read a little bit about QCA? Well, of course, you were in the committee. Okay, good. So if this is the path that we're taking, then I would like to do some group work. So I would like to, while I introduce the sort of the basic concepts, then I would like you to think about evaluations that you're working on. And for example, I'm going to talk about what's an outcome, what's a condition, what's a model. So if you can think through, like, what would these things look like in my own evaluations, in this own evaluation that I'm working on? I think it could, yeah, it could be good. Okay, so let's start from the steps. Okay, so the steps. The very first step in QCA is to, technically, is you have to choose one or more outcomes to explain, or causally attribute. And there are a number of ways to do it, but obviously this is connected to the evaluation and the type of programs that you're evaluating, what your commissioners want to know. So there are a lot of, you know, ways that you can actually get there. Then you create a working hypothesis on which factors explain the outcome. And again, there are a number of ways that you can do it. You can use other evaluation methods such as contribution analysis, relative evaluation, even process tracing, and this is something that's dealt with in Chapter 3, at the end of Chapter 3 of the report. And then we'll see what this model looks like. Then you collect data empirically on all factors and the outcome variable. And then you organize the data in a data set, then you calibrate the conditions. So this calibration step. Once you have the data set, which is essentially a matrix of many cases zeros and ones, but there are also intermediate degrees if you use fuzzy sets QCA. But it's always a scale, so it's never like a real number. It can be something like 0.3367 or 1, or 0.2, 0.4, 0.6, or 1 in the most complicated cases. And then you analyze the data sets, and there are like a number of ways to do it. And you interpret the findings. This is a bit critical because sometimes you discover some things that make you think of another interesting model to test. So in this sense, QCA is kind of iterative. This is what one iteration looks like. But when you get to the end, sometimes you start again and test a different model, and so sort of do everything back to back. This is an example of outcomes that can be analyzed with QCA, and that there are examples of in the guide. So it can be You might want to explain why management systems for protected areas are functional or not, or what caused trends in illegal activities and incidents to decrease or increase. You might try to want to understand why female primary school enrollment has increased or decreased, whether service deliveries has improved or not, and whether social norms around gender-based violence and women's roles have changed or not. So there's a number of things that you might want to explain. So why don't we just get to this point straight away and you think of a number of outcomes that you might want to explain? Or do you prefer doing this together with the conditions? Because later, after the outcomes, you will think of conditions that might explain this outcome. So do you want to do this in like two different moments, or do you want to do this all together? Is it too much work to do it all together, or it's fine? All together, okay, good. Okay, so what are the challenges in outcome selections? So first of all, in some cases you don't know exactly what to explain, which outcomes to, how far do I go? Sometimes theories of change are very long and there are lots of intermediate outcomes. Then one final ultimate outcomes, which in many cases we don't have data about, or it's just too early, when we do the evaluation, it's just too early for the ultimate outcome to materialize. So we have a number of different outcomes and we don't know exactly how to choose that. And one of the perhaps problems in QCA is that you have to choose one outcome at a time. So like in each model, there is only one outcome. So if you want to analyze two different outcomes, you have to test two different models. That might be a limitation. Yeah, so you can do it like in different ways. One way is to, first of all, connect like a measure of the ultimate outcome with this kind of different aspects of the same outcome and see if there's a relation between these aspects and the ultimate outcome. And then you can also explain each of these, let's say, intermediate or more specific outcomes separately. But you need a model for each different outcome. Or you can maybe use the same model, but it would be kind of a strange hypothesis to say, well, the same conditions and the same causal factors explain all of these different things. So, I mean, one of the things that we will see is that QCA doesn't work well with a high number of conditions. So usually we try to be very precise in selecting conditions to test. So if we have different outcomes, the expectation is we would have different conditions that possibly make the difference for each outcome, as opposed to the same list of conditions explain a number of different outcomes. So, yeah, and then there are kind of nested models, so you can have models explaining different outcomes and then one overarching outcome being explained by this kind of more specific outcomes. Another way to do it is that you can create a composite indicator from all of the specific indicators. You can just put all of this together in a big overarching indicators. Another problem with QCA is that sometimes because you have to conceptualize this presence of, success. Usually in evaluation, it will be like a successful outcome and unsuccessful outcome. So you have to define what this thing is. And it's a bit of a scale. So it's more like we're talking about the same thing, but like a positive version and a negative version of this. And sometimes it's hard to understand if you're talking about a positive and a negative version of the same thing or actually two qualitatively different outcomes that are not necessarily on a scale. And this is even more of a problem if you use fuzzy sets and if you have like different degrees of the outcome. Like, am I talking about a scale or am I talking about something which is completely different? So for example, if you look at women empowerment and say, well, okay, change in social norms is a form of women's empowerment, or is it something that's, for example, qualitatively different from individual access to resources or participatory spaces? Like, can I use these concepts to define women empowerment in the same conditions, or do I have to create two different conditions? So sometimes it's a bit tricky to understand. But then we will see, like, when you actually do it with your evaluations, then you will see like what kind of challenges you get into. Then the selection of causal factors. The starting point are usually theories of change on what affects selected outcomes. And you can use a number of evaluation approaches for that. Sometimes QCA is quite often now combined with realist evaluation. I don't know how many of you are familiar with realist evaluations. They have a similar, they have a similar logic, because realist evaluation is about understanding what works in different contexts. But it's more like explanatory and quantitative, so it's not necessarily easy to compare cases with realist evaluation, but at the same time, it's easier to understand the mechanisms. But there are still configurations. So the central element of realist evaluation is this thing called the CMO, context mechanism outcome configuration. So it's still a configuration. You have a context, you have a mechanism, and you have an outcome. And the way that it's combined with QCA is that you try to understand conditions representing the context, conditions representing the mechanism, and obviously the outcome. So there is a kind of an overlap in a way between these two methods, and sometimes they are combined. I think I'm not going into this because we don't have time. But this is maybe I can spend a few more words about this context mechanism outcome configurations. This is based also on a large part of sociological theory is around this kind of structure action conceptualizing of human behavior. So what does it mean? It means in practice it means that behavior is explained by individual preferences, but also by constraints, and these constraints are similar to groups of people. And they're kind of harder to change. Well, it's easier to influence individual preferences and behavior than this kind of historical constraints. So in a way, the idea of context is sometimes in evaluation is interpreted as something that cannot change, that the evaluation doesn't have any power to change. Maybe institutional processes, maybe historical processes in specific countries or areas. The mechanism sometimes is interpreted as what the intervention actually does, or the kind of behavior that it's trying to encourage, and then the outcome is the outcome. And this is kind of combines nicely with QCA, because you can think of conditions to describe. These are all kind of causal factors in a way that combine into this mechanism. So in QCA, you can think of some conditions for the context, others some conditions for the mechanism, and obviously the outcome condition. So this is an example of causal factors and the way that they are conceptualized into presence and absence. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, the way that presence and absence is translated is one way that it's often translated with is high and low. So for example, market competition, high market competition, low market competition, or model of service provision, community-based, state-based, or bottom-up or top-down, institutional capacity, high and low, political pluralism, high and low, type of interventions, demand-based, supply-based, and so on. That was actually one of the things I wanted to say, but maybe one thing I used to talk about when I first started doing trainings in QCA was the think of this very simple causal models, the idea that income, like the income of adult individuals, is explained by a number of factors, but one of these factors is years of education. So if you include this variable in our regression analysis, you will say that, you know, this is the weight of years of education, but the variable is considered like continuously. So you could say, I don't know, the average. You can identify, let's say, an income bracket, and then say, well, the average years of education for this income bracket are 11 or 15, or so. You put a specific number. You associate a specific number with a specific income level, okay? But this is not the way QCA works. So, for example, in QCA, you're trying to understand whether the condition makes a difference or not. So, for example, in education, a big difference for income is made by whether you've graduated. At least in the United States. So if you graduated from college or if you haven't graduated from college, it makes a big difference. So it's not about the number of years. It's about whether you've graduated or not. It's whether you're, I don't know exactly how many years are to college, but let's say that they are 12. Is it 12? Does it 12 make sense? Let's say 12. So it's like, is it below 12 or over 12? So that's what makes a difference for income. So this is the kind of conditions that QCA works with. So we're not trying to understand how much a little bit of something influences a little bit of something else. It's you have to draw the line, you have to set the threshold at a point which makes a qualitative difference to the outcome. So if this is hard to do, then maybe QCA is not the right method. And it's true that there is fuzzy sets QCA, but then I have some reservations on making a widespread use of that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but the idea is that it's a point in time that makes it this. So it's not like whether, like if you go from third grade to fourth grade, it doesn't make any difference. Because the idea with regression analysis is that it tells you like the average difference that one more year makes. So it would tell you, well, you know, one more year of education means 0.5 more of outcome. So in QCA is a completely different logic. It's not the average contribution. It's like it's a qualitative presence. It's is this there or is it not there? Do you have college education or not? So it's a this kind of hypothesis that kind of helps you to test, and so obviously if you're just 1 year before graduation, that year that lets you graduate has a much bigger impact than, you know, going from third grade to fourth grade. So if you go to third from fourth, it doesn't make any difference. If you go from not graduating to graduating, it makes a difference. So that's why, like, it's a bit like a think of step level change. So QCA is good at understanding step level change. So it's just a small difference that makes a big change.
I mean, institutional capacity. What is sort of that? How do you rank high and low? just like that. It's sort of that quantitative change that sort of, I mean, applying a binary logic to many of those factors is barely possible, and in the very best of cases, very discussable, I would say. I mean, if you're doing an evaluation, and you're sitting around your table with your value evaluators, I mean, just trying to agree on what is high and low institutional capacity or political pluralism will be a problem in itself.
Well, it depends what kind of model you're testing. So, for example, in that case, institutional capacity is one of the hardest, I think, to measure. Political pluralism, you can define it as, for sure there's a big difference between one-party systems and multiple-party systems. So that's one way to see it. In that particular case that we applied fuzzy sets QCA, and the scale was... Yeah, fuzzy set is like when you have you don't have binary values, you have scales. So, for example, instead of having 0 and 1, you have 0.2, 0.4, 0.6, and 0.8, or 0.33, 0.67, and 1. So in this case, it was a 4-point scale. So it was 0, 0.33, 0.67, and 1. And there were the number of parties. So it was like single party, two parties, three parties, and more than three. Which I think makes sense, because like once you have more than three, it doesn't really matter if you have 5 or 25. I mean, it's still a politically... You can still define it as a politically plural society. And for accountability, which was the outcome that the kind of evaluation was interested in, didn't really make a big difference. But I guess you can think of other cases where, for sure, single party or two or three party is where the big difference is. At the same time, there are other cases where it's clearer. Like, for example, the model of service provision, predominantly community-based or predominantly state-based. But I mean, I agree that it's definitely not something that's always easy to do, and that's, I think, one of the constraints to use QCA. But at the same time, you have to wonder, like, what is the alternative? So, like, if you use quantitative methods, so you kind of don't have to go into the definition of and think where do I draw the line, where do I put the thresholds? Is this helpful? Like, do you want to really know, you know, what quantity is associated with? Because it really depends, like, what is your question? Do you have a qualitative question or not? Like, so I think it also depends on what kind of questions you're interested in. So one of the problems in this phase is that in many evaluations, theories of change are poorly developed. And like if you look at the logic models or many theories of change that are around, it's unclear like what the role is of all the factors that you see in the theories of change to the outcome. Like it seems like a bunch of different things. And in a way, it's not necessarily a problem with QCA, because as Rick was saying, the theory of change can be loose. But the problem with QCA is that you cannot use it with long lists of conditions, just because it's technically impossible, because it's a combinatorial method. Like, so it looks at all possible combinations of conditions, and the number of possible combinations sort of very easily skyrockets once you know, even if you have 10 conditions, you have sort of a thousand of possible combinations. So it's really very difficult to understand the findings if you have, I would say, more than 10 conditions or 15 conditions. So usually in practice, What you do is that you start with a 10, 15, 20 conditions, and then when you build the model, you reduce this list to a more manageable number, and you test these models with this 10 or less conditions. And then you can use the other conditions, but to test maybe another model. So it's like, it's not that you cannot use a high number of conditions, but they cannot go into the same model. So like every model needs to be a relatively small number of conditions. So it's like you can use them, but like not at the same time. So I would say that when you choose these causal factors, you shouldn't go for the kind of every little helps strategy. You should go for the conditions that you think make a big difference. And focus on those, understanding on how they combine with each other. So, for example, one way to do it is to think of the necessary factors. Like, what is there something that is kind of functional to the outcome, that is required for the outcome, that, or I mean, of course, in my hypothesis, that it's very hard for the outcome to materialize without it. And of course, the risk is that you select a trivial outcome, so an outcome that is kind of obviously always there, which is not informative. So it needs to be, for example, in this in one of the evaluations that I include in the report, this initial kind of scoping phase where they were trying to build a theory of change was done using contribution analysis. And during one of the focus groups, the idea was that the prevalent idea of the stakeholders was that having a champions, local champions, sort of taking the matter at heart and engaging with local politicians was necessary. It's like if you don't have champions, there's no way that, you know, you can improve accountability processes and so on and so forth. So that was one of the hypotheses that was tested with QCA. And the result was that they weren't necessary. They were much more important in some contexts than in other contexts. I've already said this. So this is an example that I have, and it's in the book. I would say not in itself, because it's a very empirical method. So the data set, it's data. So it needs to come from observation. So and you kind of take those for granted. You don't, once you build a data set, you don't think about, oh, what's the likelihood of this being true or not being true. You just include in the data set and you kind of take for granted that it's true and you work on that basis. So I don't think in itself it's a sort of very empirical in this sense. What you can, of course, from the empirical findings, then you can kind of infer what kind of an observable mechanism is there. But like my first thought was that I would, if I were interested in an observable mechanism, I would use another method, which is actually the other method that I'm working on. So I don't know if you're interested, but maybe it's not a good moment to talk about this today. Yeah, so I would use something else. Okay, I will tell you later. Okay, shall we go on with this example? Okay, so this is widely covered in the book, and it's an example from this project called Testing the Waters, which was about introducing ICT, essentially mobile technology, to rural areas, to report failure in water points. So the idea is that when someone realized that water points were broken, they would inform the authority with their mobile phones, and then the authority would process the information and then send someone to repair the water point, and then this would be more efficient than without the mobile phones and things like that. So there were three outcomes. So one outcome was use of this technology. Another outcome was processing of the information, and the other outcome was kind of the ultimate outcome, repair of water points. So there were three models, so like three outcomes and three models, and then another kind of model which tried to see whether the other two were intermediate. So it's like whenever water points are repaired, is it because ICT is used, and is it because information has been processed? So there were also interesting findings that this was not always the case. In some cases, you know, water points were repaired, but without people using ICTs. So that was one model. The other three models each of these outcomes were there was an attempt to explain each of these outcomes with a series of conditions. The third outcome, the repairs, this is the model that was used to explain the repairs. So one condition was funds are sufficient for carrying out the repair. Operations and maintenance responsibility are clear. The responsibilities are clear to all parties. Spare parts are available for the repair. A mechanic is available to carry out the repairs. And then the service provider or local government authority depending on who was responsible, has accountability mechanism in place to ensure that the reports are acted on and the repairs are carried out. And the initial idea was that these are all necessary conditions. Like if any of these things are missing, you know, we can see how is it possible that repairs are made. So is this true? And so they use QCA, we kind of use QCA, to test this hypothesis. Like, are all these things necessary for repairs? And if not, then what happens? And why repairs are made or not made? Yeah?
You were talking a little bit about finding explanations of this outcome.
Yeah.
But in this case, for example, establishing the outcome in the first place, that this has happened. And is this also binary or...
Yes. Yes.
Because of the initiation, the first challenge in the first place, find out what was the outcome.
Okay.
In this case, for example, how...
Oh, well, I mean, I would, as I was saying, you know, the first step in QCA is to identify an outcome, so I can't see how you can use QCA without an idea of what outcomes you are interested in.
Of course, what outcome you are interested in, but here you, in order to
empirical
use
data.
This, to check the explanation, you have to have quite a strong idea of what the outcome was.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, as I was saying, you know, if you think it could be three or four different outcomes, I'm interested in three or four or five different outcomes, then you need to have one different model for each outcome. So yeah, I think if you're trying to explore the consequences of something you've done, I don't think QCA is the best method. Again, I'm thinking of the other method. Because because one of the reasons why I'm working on this other method is it's very complementary to QCA. It does everything that QCA doesn't do. So this is something that the other method does, and also what you've asked. But it doesn't mean that it's better, because, of course, it's a within-case method, so it works with single cases. It's not comparative. So it's in this sense, it's completely different. QCA is comparative method. It's in the title, comparative. C, the C in QCA means comparative. So that's one of the biggest added value of QCA. And that's why I did this talk about generalization, which is something that the other method that I've been thinking of when you ask the question doesn't do at all. So
in my world, I would say that rural water points are repair is an outcome, and the ICT reports made the water point repaired quicker or something like that is the intervention. There's some to me it's something lacking here. So just stating a fact that something is repaired based on an ICT report, I'm still in the counterfactual world that you have to compare some kind of other state of fact, because all those conditions you're trying to measure, they could create another state of the world as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So,
but I mean,
you don't make that other world explicit in your outcome discussion.
Why not? I'm sorry, I don't understand this. Because you don't just look at situations where water points have been repaired.
In my world,
you also
the gross result or output is water points repaired.
Yeah.
And there is some kind of better quality gaining if you have the ICT reports processing. If that is happening, you save money or people are utilized better or something like that. And I that kind of reasoning is lacking in that.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, it was the outcome. I think I have rubrics at some point.
I can't understand the theory of change here.
Yeah, just a second. I have rubrics. Yeah.
So this is how they are defined. So, no, wait. So the water points are repaired. Yes. Water points are repaired or targeted planning takes place. Water points are not repaired or no targeting planning takes place. I think in the field work, they conceptualized, they said these are repaired on the basis of like a rate. Like these are the number of water points that have broken and this is the number of water points that have been repaired within this time. So it was kind of defined much, you know, more, in a sort of much more sophisticated way, which is in the report. There's a report from this study, which is cited in the guide, and you can see what it looks like. But once this was done, I don't understand what's your concern, because this is not. So you're not only looking at situations where repairs have been carried out. You also look at situations where repairs have not been carried out. So you are comparing like a good and a bad situation. What you're not comparing with is situations where you have not implemented the intervention. So you are looking at all the cases that you're looking at are all cases that have kind of received the interventions. So that's something that maybe you can see as a limitation. But you definitely look at both positive and negative outcomes. So that's why you try to understand, if I do the intervention, then what happens and what conditions allow the intervention to work or not. So that's the question. So I think I had another slide about challenges in selecting outcomes. But, well, I don't know, I still have the same question. So do you want to do the group or like, everything together? Because you need to select factors, select conditions, and then try to understand how to calibrate those conditions. So define presence and absence for all of those things. Do you want to do this together, like all at the same time? It's fine for me, just that it's going to be maybe take a little bit longer.
As there are some confused, you know, about the concepts, and I would prefer step by step defining the outcome.
Yeah, this is how I usually do it in trainings, but I don't know. So shall we take a break now and just divide into groups and think of outcomes and causal factors, and then we haven't gone through calibration yet. So yeah, I don't know if you want to me to say something about the data in calibration, and you want to do calibration at the same time, or we can stop selecting. Okay. Okay, great. So shall we take maybe 15 minutes or to do this? Okay, and trying to, in this case, because you're going to be working on like one example for each group.
We invent the outcome ourselves.
Well, I mean, yeah, as long as it's something that you can relate to, that it kind of helps you understand the method, it's you can do whatever you want. But I was saying, like, because in some groups, like, it's better that people with different experience and different backgrounds are working on different things are in the same group. In this case, no. Like, you should all understand this case that you'll be working on, because you will be working on one case for each group. So try to, let's say, maximize this within-group similarity or something.
Do you want this to be some four groups, three groups, two groups?
I think maybe three are fine, because four, if it's four, it takes longer to then refer to the plenary, I think. If it's not a big problem to find four people who can sort of communicate on the same example, I would prefer three.
Yeah.
So no one knows who you are.
So you want us to form groups by. So should we try just to take 1, 2, 3, or would that be just crazy way of
just how we say dividing?
I mean, I think one good another way that sometimes people do it is like. People have ideas and say, oh, I want to work on this case. Who is interested in working on this case? And then people kind of flock to the table.
Straightforward in the use of ecological sanitation, use of fertilizer in agriculture.
Another one could
don't look at me.
In developing cooperation and broadening in Sweden, the empowerment of women or economic empowerment of women.
Wow. Well, we have three cases, so I don't know. But the others are not too convinced about this these cases.
No, it's just possibility that sounds good for me. It sounds relevant, so I could join that group.
Yeah, I think beyond some principles.
Easy way out.
Yeah.
So try to move physically like together to this group.
Over there.
Yeah.
And fertilizing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good. I don't know how quick you are. I would say 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah, just the model. This is called model specification. So it's like an outcome and a list of explanatory factors. Not a list of 25 explanatory factors, but like relatively short, especially because this is kind of a pedagogical example, or just should be like as simple as possible. Two groups? If you communicate. But I thought we had three groups. Why now you want two groups? Ah, okay.